Hello, this is Gaming Perspectives with Saul and Jolene. It's just me, Jolene, right now. We are going to DunderCon this weekend, President's Day weekend, February 2019. And Saul did a couple interviews with some GMs that are going to be there. David Jones is the first one. And then Shannon McNamara and Ezra Denny. So enjoy, listen to them, and hopefully we'll see you at DunderCon.
Hello, this is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene, and today we're going to be doing an interview
with David Jones. He's a GM that I've known for a while who goes to different cons, and the next con on our list of cons to go to is DunderCon. It takes place over President's Day weekend, sometimes Valentine's Day weekend, which is bad for some gamers.
It's always Valentine's Day weekend.
Okay, always Valentine's Day weekend. But Dave, we've asked to be on an interview. We're just going to ask him, you know, just general questions about his experiences and what he likes about DungeonCon.
Since my husband may or may not know you, if you could introduce yourself.
Well, as has been introduced, I am David Jones, and I have been a GM for many years, and I do go to DungeonCon. I was actually just trying to remember how long I've known Saul, because it's like I can't really pinpoint the exact meeting of Saul. Yes. I think it might have been one of the games you ran at DunderCon, in fact.
It might have been one of Michael's games, Silverling.
Yeah, it might have been one of his, because I know you played it. I met a bunch of people through him.
Right, right.
But I do remember you running your like science fiction.
Oh, space opera.
Yeah, it was like running for years and years and years. Yes. They had all kinds of different races and creatures. And
yes.
It was like, you know, that was pretty cool.
That's the funny thing about meeting people at a convention is that, you know, you see a lot of people from time to time because you're always there, or you go year after year. And then all of a sudden you get to play with somebody, and then you get to know them a little bit better. And then instead of just being a face that you pass by, you actually know, hey, David, how you doing? That kind of stuff.
And then you weed out the idiots from the cool people.
Well, I haven't met too many idiots, but yes, that does happen.
Wow, man.
So what was the first year you went to DungeonCon?
I think it was like 1992.
Wow.
Maybe 91. I had fallen in with these guys that worked at a local game store called Game Gallery, which is no longer around. They were a small chain that were in like San Francisco and a little bit in the East Bay, and they had one up in the North Bay. And the primary guys I met were at the Stonestown Galleria shopping center. There were like four or five guys that were staff members, and they became gaming buddies, and they were the ones that introduced me to the concept of gaming conventions.
Wow.
I mean, I knew big ones like Origins and Gen Con existed, but I never really knew about local cons at all. I had a vague sense of Pacificon, because I knew it was the con that happened at the Castle Hotel. I didn't know it was Dunphy. But this is back when I was like in probably grade school or junior high. they were like talking about, you know, DunderCon. I'm like, what's DunderCon? Like, oh, you don't know about DunderCon and blah, blah. You know, they were talking to me about it and they played it up. And so that became my first foray. And so we would do DunderCon and then Pacificon, and then when other cons started developing, we would do them. But so I think it was like 92 was the actual my first.
That's pretty close. When I started going like 91. Yeah. So yeah, we've been seeing each other in the hallways for many years, and then we played a game together at one point or another, or you played one of my games. So that's pretty cool. So when you run a game at the convention, so how do you pick the game that you want to run? Do you go with what's popular, or
I kind of do a mix. I kind of go with what people are interested in, and I try to get the more eclectic games. So I don't run D&D because back in the day I ran into a lot of, oh, I want to bring my 35th level paladin. Well, my game are level 16 to like 20. You're way off scale, dude. I'm sorry. Or you'd get, you know, Call of Cthulhu. I don't do too much darkness in my games. I'll have some stuff happen that could be like, you know, skirting the edge, but I never really go across the threshold. The games I tend to go for are ones that are kind of quirky. Like normally I'll go with something like Spirit of 77, or I'll do Star Trek, but it'll be my own rule whole system. Like, I'll pick a generic system that I like, and I'll run with it. So it's a little unexpected. And I don't really do the mainstream stuff when I run a game. I'm usually the one, like this con, I'm going to be running Tales from the Loop. So that's not like a what I would consider like a mainstream role playing game. It's one of those that has a niche audience.
That's really cool because that's how people get introduced to different kinds of games.
That's part of it, but it's also a lot of game systems get overshadowed by the big, like I guess you would say, like the big two or the big three. You've got Pathfinder, you've got D&D, and you've got Call of Cthulhu. And back in the day, it used to be the big four, which was D&D, Pathfinder, Call of Cthulhu, and, you know, all the World of Darkness stuff.
Vampire.
Which still, you know, comes out. And I have no problem with World of Darkness. I've run it. I've played it. I enjoy it. Yeah, I tend to go for the more quirkier settings and systems so people can experience it and go, hey, this is kind of cool. I want to buy this. You know, I want to get into this. That's one of the joys of going to cons and bumping into somebody that's running a game that you ran. Not the same game, but I mean, a game system that you ran like 2-3 years ago, and now they're running it.
Right.
They liked it. And I've met a couple people like that where they're running their own games and that's, you know, they got introduced to it or they found out about it through a game I ran.
Yeah. 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 I kind of ran Space Opera for a number of years and it was like a totally unknown system because it was such a clunky system and quirky and stuff. So yeah, I know what you mean by running games that are not, there's not a whole list of, there's not 10 games of Space Opera being run compared to like D&D or something like that.
That's good because there's not enough dice for that.
Just there is. Or Shadowrun, there you go. There you want dice.
So what's your favorite memory from DundraCon?
Or one of them.
One of the favorite memories was one of the first few DundraCons. I got in a group that was doing, I think it was the fastest Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
And we actually shut down the con. We were there for so long. People were actually, the hotel staff were breaking stuff down around us as we were playing the game. And what we did, we went into one of the wargaming rooms that was no longer being used, and we created a bridge with the tables. And we had all the chairs, and we had all the stations set up. And I guess
there was
a supplement where you could actually, you have little charts and diagrams, and you had counters so that would position on the chart. So if you're in engineering, you had so many units of power, and then you put the little chits on how many units of power you had and how much you were giving to a particular area of the ship. And then the same thing with the weapons and all that stuff. So everybody had their own little like station, and we cobbled together the captain's chair out of a couple chairs and gave him like, we had the chair and there were two chairs on either side to give him like arm supports like the captain's chair had. And one area was the main viewer and the person running it. She was really cool, and she was like running around telling us what everything's going on and what we see and what we're doing. And so it was kind of like one part role playing, one part LARPing.
Wow.
But that was like, yeah, that was probably one of the first, either the first or the second year I went there. That was really cool.
And then they're kicking you out, right? Because they're like, we got to take this table and chairs, buddy.
Yeah, it went on forever. And it was like we were getting to like the climax of the game. And it was like, we were just so into it, we didn't want to stop, you know? And that's what I remember, dudes giving us the stank eye because they wanted to like clear the tables away. We were keeping them from doing that.
That's a true gamer story too. I mean, my brother Felipe, who was playing a board game a few years ago, they literally started taking all the tables and chairs around them, and they kept playing. They going, "Oh, we're just going to move you out of the room," and then they put them in the hallway, and then they go. And then they finally came up with them and they go, "Oh, yeah, we need to take the table and chair to sit in." So yeah, that does happen. So when you're not running a game, what games do you look for? You don't play board games there. You mainly play role playing games.
I started out not being a board gamer.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I don't know whether it's just age or meeting people that I like that play board games, and they got me into board games. I've actually mixed it up now, and that has solved the problem of like, you know, when you go to a role playing convention and you sign up for like 3 or 4 role playing games, and you look at the sheet and you realize, oh man, I didn't get into anything, and then you wander around looking to see if you can crash, and everybody's full, And so you become sort of this moping little phantom wandering around the con going, oh, I didn't get into a game. There's like 15 people there going, hey, you know, why don't you come join our game? And, you know, I found out that there's always something to do. And that's, I think that helped me get back into board gaming. Because the last couple of years, I've been doing half and half. I'll do some role-playing games, and then I'll do some board games. And sometimes if I don't find any role-playing games open that I want to play in, I will hop into either Open Gaming in the board game area and wander around and see if there's anything starting or anything that just started recently that will accept a drop-in, you know?
That's good, because that's one of the best things about conventions, is that if you don't get into a role-playing game, there's always other things to do. Not only board gaming, but there's different kinds of miniature games and things like that.
And it almost only took me about 20 years to figure that out.
You know, what's funny, I kind of mirror that. I didn't play any board games until like probably about 2003, when my son started going and Jolene started going to conventions with me, because, you know, I had a split time watching the baby and stuff like that. And so, you know, something that we could only play for 2 or 3 hours was a board game, and it worked out pretty good.
Yeah. So have you been to any conventions other than Northern California ones?
Yeah, actually, a couple of years ago, during the 50th anniversary of Gen Con, my wife and I flew out and went to Gen Con, which was, you know, experience. It was one of the bucket list conventions. It was one of those holy grail type things that ever since I've been into role playing and knew about Gen Con, it was one of those things. I remember my friends in grade school and junior high and high school and even into college going, yeah, we're going to go, you know, rent a van and drive 5 days to get to Gen Con.
Milwaukee, yeah.
You know, Felipe had that plan.
Yeah, and it never happened. You know, either we couldn't get enough money together or not enough people would flake, you know, because they would get girlfriends during the summer and be like, I'm going to be off my girlfriend and they're going camping and, you know, get camping nookie instead of doing the or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it would always just fall apart. So, yeah, my wife and I decided, hey, we're going to do it. And part of that was because of West Coast gaming, because it was like, I knew people that were going there, and so it'd be kind of like cool to go back there and hang out with some of those folks. And it's really weird when you go back to Gen Con, how many people are there that you recognize or know?
When did you start playing any role-playing games or gaming? How did you enter into
It was like sixth grade. I got introduced at one recess. One of my school friends who had been playing D&D and was very knowledgeable about D&D, introduced it to it. Myself and my best friend, hey, you want to play this new thing? It's called D&D. And we're like, whoa, what's that? You know, he explained it to us, and we've rolled characters, and every lunchtime recess, we would play for like the 20 or 30 minutes we were out there. And then it became like after school and all that. And I remember there used to be a store called Ben Franklin, which was like a five and dime or like a old school general store, and it was like the pre Kmart, pre Target. It was all low end, small time stuff. But they had a hobby section and they stocked D&D stuff. And I bought the red. It was the Errol Otis artwork. It was Elmore. Elmore was on the one that came out in the 80s. This was the one that came out in the mid to late 70s to early 80s. And it was Errol Otis was the artist. And they had a red one and a blue one. And the red one was the basic D&D. The blue one was the expert set. And I bought them. And we were running with it. And then we realized, hey, it's not the same game that our friend Jeremy showed us on the schoolyard.
Yeah,
and
we realized,
wait a second. We've been gypped. There's a whole other game out there. So then we found out, well, we got to get, you know, Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. So then we went and got that, and that was our, like, the gateway opened up. It was like, what? You know, and, you know, then we just went, you know, crazy and bought all the supplements and became, you know, nerdy gamers.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I pretty much, We played original D&D, which is in the little white box.
Yeah, the,
and
yeah.
then we never saw there was never a gaming or a hobby store in Salinas where we were at, and it wasn't until AD&D came out and we saw them at Walden Books, a little bookstore, and so that's where we bought my brother bought the Dungeon Master's Guide, and then I think they came out in weird order, didn't they? Like, the Dungeon Master's Guide came out, and then the Monster Manual, and then the Player's Guide. It's like, how are you going to play the game without Player's Guide? But anyway, we made do with playing original D&D with the Dungeon Masters, and then slowly when the Player's Guide came out,
D&D. I don't have that experience. I think what happened was we got the basic stuff, and we were satisfied with that for about 6 months to a year until we realized this was not the same thing that we were playing. And by that time, they had probably had come out with all the books, those three books. Because we had the original art ones, you know, the crappy oil painting stuff.
Yeah.
And then, except for the Monster Man. And the Monster Man looked awesome. Not the Monster Man. Yeah, I mean, the Player's Handbook with the, you know, the big stone idol and the adventurers are prying the gem out of the eye socket. That one looked good. The Monster Manual looked like, you know,
that was horrible.
Someone's like, kid did that one.
Yeah. I think Gary Gygax did that himself.
No offense to him, but you know.
I don't think it was.
You got to hire a real artist, I guess. This is an argument for that, but no. And then, you know, they reintroduced them in the mid-80s with better cover art because now they had money to spend to hire artists that could do that. You know, and then, I kept going with it. I stayed with D&D till about third edition 3.5, and then I rebelled.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once fourth edition came out, I said, no, I'm not giving you guys any more money. I bought all your stuff. I bought the Unearthed Arcana so I could incorporate and become second edition. And then you guys come out with third edition. Third edition was cool. And then, no more. And that now fifth edition's out, and I'm a piece now. I bought that.
Yeah.
Cool. I like it. You know.
Yeah.
But you know, I haven't really played it lately. Because there's just, it's like going to a buffet and my plate is loaded up now and I have no place to land it.
Gotcha. Yeah, I understand. So if they've never gone, what would you tell them to? Would you tell them that they should attend, and if so, why?
I would say, like, go for a day the first time, probably on, like, a Saturday, so they experience the whole thing, because the dealer room wouldn't be open on a Friday night. So you want to go Saturday, look at, you know, I wouldn't schedule anything. I would just, you know, wander around and check it out and check out open gaming, check out the open board gaming, just experience it that first time. And absorb it all best you can, wander around, check it all out. You know, don't be afraid to ask questions or ask if they are looking for players, make a spot for you.
I think that's totally true. I mean, there's a little bit of if you go by yourself, there's a little bit of that shyness that or reservation that can prevent you from asking people. But our experience, me and Jolene, has always been if people ask, or if we ask somebody, that they usually are more than welcoming to let you play in a game and even teach you a game.
I mean, even if you're with a group of friends, or if you're all going together, I would say it's worse to hang out together because you're going to miss a lot of stuff. And I mean, you're never going to get it all, because that can hobble you. You know,
I think that's good advice, especially if it's your first time going.
It's your first time, just soak it in, wander around. You know, don't stress out.
When my son was young, his favorite thing was I would always take him up to the room like at 7 because he was totally tired, and I'd order chocolate cake from room service. The last few years since he's been about 12 or 13, we have not gone up to the room once. And by the time we're done with the convention, I'm so tired because they want to stay up late every night. I'm like, but it's a lot of fun. But that's when you get to know all the different things that you can do there. Yeah. So.
But I mean, because they have a lot going on, not even stuff attached to the convention. Because, I mean, the hotel has a pool. So if you want to, you know, just hang out in the pool, they have a little jacuzzi area, hang out there, just relax, whatever you want to do. And, you know, there's the anime room, so you can hang out there for a couple hours just watching anime. Or you can, the SCA is out there doing demos. You can watch guys bashing each other with sticks. You know?
That's always fun. You
know, weather permitting, every other year it seems. Every other year, it seems to be raining cats and dogs, and you know. I think
it is in February.
This year might be another wet year. I don't know.
We're planning on recording at DungeonCon right around between 9 and 11. And if you're around, maybe you could stop by and say hello and tell us how your DungeonCon is treating you this year.
Yeah, I mean, my game is running Friday night, which has become sort of my slot. I don't know whether it helps knowing the guy who schedules that, or whether it's just my time and my slot of hours fills that hole. But it seems every time I've run, almost the last 5 years, it's been Friday night, 6 to midnight. Yeah, this year is Tales from the Loop. This year it's going to be more like Stranger Things meets, I guess, Class of Nukem High or something. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Like I said, I do eclectic stuff, so we'll see how it goes.
Sounds good. Thanks for coming and getting on the microphone with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
And doing all that you do. I mean, going to conventions is about people who help put it on, and GMs like you are obviously what make them memorable and make people want to go to them. So thanks a lot for being a good GM and being a good sport and having the spent half an hour of your evening and talking to us.
All right. No worries,
man. And we'll see you. We'll see you at the convention.
We'll see you at the convention. Right. Okay. All right. Thanks, David.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.